Blog Talk Radio.
It's the brothers of you.
Okay, are we loaded? You guys got fat out there when we all stopped on the street. It's my turn. You're welcome. You're all welcome. Enjoy. Okay.
If you're unconvinced a particular plan of action I've decided, tell me so. But allow me to convince you, and I promise you right here and now, no subject will ever be taboo. Now, if any of you sons of bitches got anything else to say, now's the time! I didn't think so.
You're all welcome! You're all welcome. Enjoy! Enjoy!
Yeah. Well, welcome to another episode of A Brother's Point of View. Actually, this is kind of not just the normal, fantastic, amazing, internet-based radio show that you're used to, because it's even a little bit more special because I am your host. For once, they let the inmates run the asylum. John Fire Ali, broadcasting high above Silver Spring, all across the globe. Oh, it feels so good. But today we got a very special show, like I said. I'm just going to get right into it because we got a lot to cover and not a whole lot of time. But before I do, I have to introduce everybody. All the usual cast of characters is here, minus one. So we're just going to go through the motions and get everybody shouted out or whatever the case is at first. Yenny, go ahead and introduce yourself to the people.
Good evening, rather, everybody. I apologize if my voice sounds crazy. I'm a little bit sick and under the weather, but John, go ahead, run it. I'm ready.
Applause. Yeah. I love this already because, see, I get to, like, control the little applause button. So, you know, we can really go in with the applause. But anyway, one more, one of our sisters that just is kind of a new person here on the crew. Patrice, go ahead and introduce yourself.
No, Patrice ain't with us today.
Totally played myself. I knew that. I meant Neil. Neil and Patrice sounds totally alike. Neil, go ahead, introduce yourself.
I can really understand that you're high above Silver Spring. Anyway, party people, it's good to be with you again. It's good to be here once again. It's great having Yenny. Keltrick, I miss you, bro. Ron, I know you're here, and let's get to it.
And, of course, finally, we have our host emeritus, Rasheen Rook. Go ahead and say what you got to say.
What's going on, people? I'm highly excited that I don't have to host tonight. John Fire Ali is going to rip this thing up. And for the first time in the history of A Brother's Point of View, I get applause.
I don't know, that seemed kind of a little bit longer than everybody else's applause. Maybe I'm tripping, but, you know, whatever. So it's going to have to be what it is, well-deserved. So, again, basically what we're going to be talking about tonight, I think that there is a renaissance of kind of black culture going on right now, maybe unseen since the 1970s, let's say, and before that, probably into the 60s. And what do I mean by that? I'm talking about our pop culture, the movies that we watch, the television shows that we watch, the music that we listen to. All of these different various things have suddenly, in the past 3 to 4 years, sprouted up, and it's a veritable tidal wave of culture that is coming out, giving us all these different images and viewpoints and perspectives on what it means to be black. So, in particular, we're going to talk about Atlanta. I'm sure plenty of y'all out there have watched Atlanta. Ra, I don't believe I mentioned what the call-in number is. What is the call-in number so that people can call us if they want to talk about these shows?
or if they want to, they can get online and go to a brother's. They can go to blogtalkradio.com/abrotherspov, and they can get in the chat room, or they can call us at 646-668-2132. 668.
Okay.
2132.
Right. Yeah, 646-668-2132. So if you want to call in and talk about it, by all means do so. So Atlanta, Insecure, Underground, what are some other, Luke Cage, what else is another good show that's come out? Of course, we got Queen Sugar. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. So I guess, first of all, I want to start out, we need to establish who's kind of seen what, and what maybe do y'all think about this? Am I alone in this kind of thing? Because that's basically what I do. I just sit at the house. I play with Play-Doh. I watch TV. That's kind of what I do. But everybody isn't like me. So, Yinny, are you familiar with any of these shows?
Yes, I am. I'm familiar with Luke Cage, Insecure, Atlanta, Queen Sugar, and some of the other ones I've give and take and watched it. But you are correct in regards to it. I think that, not to say, I think that a lot of the shows are going through a different network and a different venue. Queen Sugar is actually going through OWN Network with Oprah Insecure. You know, she started off, Issa Rae started off on Facebook with her YouTube, with her shorts and everything like that. So, but I also know that a lot of them, that you have to look at also, notice the platform in which some of these shows are going through in order for them to actually be on mainstream TV. But also when you look at the culture itself, I think there's a new phase of back to black. And back to black meaning back to support, back to what we're used to, back to something to support ourselves. I think it's getting to a point where people are starting to actually, back in the day we used to talk about fight for power, support black businesses, support ourselves. But I think that now that the culture, political-wise and social-wise, is changing, people are starting to understand the meaning of investment within the black community and culture. So,
right, I totally agree with that. So, like, the reason that I feel like this is such a major thing right now, but I forgot, I was going to ask Neil, do you watch any of these shows? Neil, for people that might not know this, Neil is an educator and has gone from sun up to sundown, so it's understandable. But yeah, Neil, do you watch any of these?
No, I definitely pay attention, and I got to applaud my wife on putting me on to Queen Sugar. I think either Rob or herself taught me about with Luke Cage. But yeah, I like the emergence, if you will, of, you know, non-ratchet TV. You know what I mean? So it's like some of these shows have a little substance to them. It's family oriented, daily stress that, you know, any ethnicity can go through. But I like the way it's going. But I definitely enjoy Queen Sugar, Luke Cage, and let's not even forget about, you know, the typical ABC, Blackish.
Yeah, Blackish definitely needs to go on the list. Blackish was damn good. What? Rasheem?
Say that again, Rob.
Are you talking right now?
Well,
yeah, I don't know exactly.
You're all chopped. Nobody heard you at all, bro.
So, Rasheem, with the cricket phone, I don't know exactly what's happening, but it's all good because he'll be able to get on it and later on. But what? Okay, go ahead, Rob.
You can get back now.
Nope.
No.
It sounds horrible.
Anyway.
No, you might have to call back in, Rob. Well, go ahead, John.
Yeah, so basically, I wanted to bring it back, I guess, to, like, what y'all were saying. We were speaking earlier before we even started the call about, like, different shows, how we all grew up watching, you know, Good Times and The Jeffersons and, you know, these kind of things. But it was always, you know, a nuclear family. There was a mom and a dad and a couple kids and, you know, they all were living together, even if they were living in a project, so they were living in a high rise. But it was that kind of thing, and it was all basically the same. You had your mother, you had your father. You know, it was a comedy. There were I don't think there were any black dramas back in the day. You know what I'm talking about, like back in the 70s or the 80s. I mean, we had like Diane Carroll on Dynasty, but that's roughly it that I can think of.
If you want to go back to the 70s, I don't remember. I said if you want to go back to the 70s, I don't know necessarily if it was drama, because I think John put me on like the old blaxploitation flicks with Bill Cosby and Sidney Poitier.
Oh yeah, so good. So good. What? What'd you say, Rob?
I'm in it. Can y'all hear me better now?
There you go.
I don't fix the problem. I know how to do this now.
Somebody's still breaking up, but never mind. Go ahead, Rod. So, Rod, have you watched any of these shows?
I have not.
Hello?
I haven't watched any of these shows.
But you have not watched any of these shows. I am shocked.
With the exception of Luke Cage.
Okay, I was about to say, I know you
watched
that.
Okay, I want to bring, let's start with Luke Cage, because basically everyone has watched Luke Cage. For those who might be listening that are unfamiliar, been living in a rock, Luke Cage is a show on Netflix. As Yenny brought up, all these different shows are on different platforms, different times. It's not like in the old days where it was either on ABC, NBC, CBS, or maybe Fox. This could be strictly online, it could be on Netflix, it could be on Hulu, et cetera, et cetera. So Luke Cage is a show on Netflix, and it's based on a black superhero character from the 70s that kind of has basically unbreakable skin. I'm going to try not to spoil it for anyone that still has not seen it. Why you have not seen it, I don't know, but if you are one of the people that hasn't seen it and you still want to see it, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but basically the Luke Cage character is kind of unbreakable skin. Does he have, like, super strength or something? Or does he just have unbreakable skin?
He's really strong.
He's got super strength, too.
Superhuman strength and unbreakable skin.
That's his little superpower. And basically, he spends his time trying to clean up Harlem. And he's going to war with, like, the little local kingpin of crime. And, you know, that's kind of what the premise of the show is. So, Ra, it's kind of funny to me. Why is it of all these different shows that everybody and their mom have been talking about, why is it that Luke Cage was the only one that you made time to see?
Because I'm a big Marvel fan.
Good enough.
Fan. And I follow the thread from Daredevil, Jessica Jones, to Luke Cage. Now, my problem is that I don't have enough time to do... I don't have enough time to watch all the other shows.
I got you. Okay, cool. You know, so basically with Luke Cage, for example, now Luke Cage is, again, for those who hadn't watched it, he basically is an ex-con. He gets a job at a barbershop, and the barbershop is run by a guy that is like his little mentor, and a whole bunch of other type of things happen. But Luke Cage is not your typical Marvel superhero. When I talk about Marvel, we talk about, you know, Iron Man, Thor, Spider-Man, you know, people that wear costumes and, you know, flying around Manhattan, or they're a god with a hammer, or, you know, something crazy like that. Luke Cage is a regular-ass dude, and he just happens to live in Harlem, and all he wants to do is live a quiet little normal life, and he gets kind of caught up in this web of intrigue around the little local crime syndicate. So the way that this is kind of important, people may not notice, but Luke Cage had some of the highest ratings on Netflix as a platform, if ever. Some people felt like when it first came out and it first dropped, it broke the internet because Netflix went down. You know, everybody and their mama, unfortunately, dressed up as Luke Cage for Halloween. It just had a major, major impact really, really quickly on the way people acted. And I found it very interesting. Like, actually, there's a lot of very conservative Republican even type principles running throughout Luke Cage. Luke is trying to clean up the neighborhood. He's trying to get all the criminals and gangsters out of there, you know, that kind of thing. He's a very law and order type person, even though he's portrayed as being an ex-convict or whatever.
But also, I just want to add into that as a history for Marvel, if everybody knows about Luke Cage and his character, he was created during Black exploitation. There you go. So
there
he was created around that time. So if you notice, if he's having these certain characteristics of those characters back in the day, it's really because of his the genre in which he was created during the comic book era and everything like that.
But the interesting thing about that is, you know, the show itself has so much black literature, black music, black culture undergirding it, to the point where white folk was watching this show upset because they didn't know that Luke Cage was a black show. Like, every time he's taking a book and he's putting it in his bag, his backpack, because he's about to go run off or hide or go do something, you know the book he always putting in his backpack? Ralph Ellison's Invisible Man.
Yep.
And they focus on it every time.
Message.
So I'm like, yeah, exactly. They got messages running all through that, to the point where, yeah, they use the N-word, but as the main character, he's like, nah, don't call me a nigga. Nah.
Mm-hmm.
How you going to do that, black man? So I was like, this is a dope little show. I like it. Ooh, the other show.
Yeah,
that, can I throw this other show out there, too?
Go for it.
The Get Down.
Now, actually, I was ignorant because y'all got to tell me about The Get Down because I didn't really watch that one. I missed that one.
But how you going to be mad if you're not watching Luke Cage, but you didn't watch The Get Down?
I'm not mad at all. I'm not mad, but I mean, I have kind of this is my snob coming out. The director of The Get Down is Baz Luhrmann, I believe is how you pronounce his name.
Yeah.
The way that he kind of makes his movies, like the way that he films it, the color palette, and, you know, he's just a little over the top for me. But at the same time, I recognize it's not necessarily for me. So I know that people really, really dug it. But, yeah, go for it. I want to hear what it was about.
I'm honest with you. The Get Down, let me tell you, I was born within that era, so I can't say, like, I knew everything. But as I started growing it, and family and cousins and everybody else was bringing me on, it brought me some reminiscent times of the latter part of that era from, you know, history of music.
Think about how hip hop started, you know, with Grandmaster Flash, Furious Five, all that good stuff. So the Get Down pretty much is a fictitious squad during that time of when rap was being created. And it takes into consideration, you know, there are four elements to hip hop. You got the graffiti artist, you got the MC, you got the DJ, you got the B-boy. So you see elements of the B-boy, the graffiti artist, the MC, the DJ all throughout this. And then they throw in another element just because the main character got a little girlfriend, little Latina girlfriend on the side, and she's a singer. She wants to do disco because this is really at when disco was kind of going down, hip hop was on its way up. So she's trying to break into the disco scene. So there's a little love affair going on between two of them. So you got the music, you got the hip hop, you got the poetry, and then you have it against the backdrop of a bankrupt New York, because New York was going bankrupt at the time. And Ed Koch, who was the first mayor that I can remember growing up, I didn't know the mayor before him, but it's before Ed Koch becomes mayor. And how he rides the coattails of New York's financial woes to becoming the mayor of the city. So there's a lot of stuff going on, and there's a lot of thug stuff going on too. But I think the way it's written is brilliant. I think the issues that they deal with in terms of poverty, single parents, single mothers, young boys growing up without their fathers, girls growing up with overprotective fathers, like a lot
with
of that
religious
stuff,
background and everything.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff ends up being front and center in that show, and it's dope.
And
those who
grew up in that era, like it's easily identifiable. And then, you know, the best of the best is when they start showing the trains with the graffiti all up on it, and it kind of takes you back to the time when you grew up, and, you know, it talks about a whole lot of things that we all grew up in. And the thing about it is that it's not far-fetched. You know it was true. And then it talks about the Bronx, the Harlem, Manhattan, and even how Manhattan looked like the Mecca because it was so far-reached from everybody else who lived in the borough. So it's a whole mess of other things. But
if that don't get you all the rhymes written by Nas. Nas wrote all the rhymes for the show. So the rhymes are dope.
I didn't know that. I mean, this is, again, bringing it back to what we was talking about earlier. We're talking about what I'm hoping and what I think is happening is that people who watch these shows, like The Get Down or Luke Cage, that were not born in New York and were maybe born in the 90s, or hell, at this point, born in the 2000s, they can kind of get like a primer on what it was like to live in New York in the 70s, which was an incubator for this massively influential hip-hop thing that is now pretty much American pop culture. So I'm thinking there's probably some teenagers that in Kansas somewhere, in Louisiana or something, and they never really thought about it, but watching The Get Down made them want to get on the internet and look up Ed Koch and, you know, what it was like to grow up in the Bronx and, you know, all these other different things, kind of bringing it back to what I was talking about as far as culturally significant television and art and films and so on and so forth, things of that nature. And to kind of bring that up, my favorite show, okay, we spoke about Luke Cage, we've talked about The Get Down, now we need to talk about Atlanta, okay? Now, I might be the only person that watches Atlanta. For anybody out there, and again, our number, if you want to call and talk about this show, because I can talk about this show all damn day, it's 646-668-2132. Call us, talk about the show, or just say that you just want to listen, or just say, John, I think you're wonderful. Anything that you want to do, you can do that. But basically, back on Atlanta. So Atlanta is the, I guess, brainchild of Donald Glover, a.k.a. Childish Gambino, who is kind of a actor, musician, comedian, all-around Renaissance man-type dude. And the show is basically about three guys, one of whom is an underground rapper, and his cousin, who is also his manager, and then basically the guy that carries his weed, and they are all trying to come up in the rap game, which is as stereotypical as it gets. But the way that they tell the story is so unique and so novel, but still very, very accessible and real, that it's almost like sketch comedy in kind of a long, 30-minute long format. So you got the guy, Donald Glover, who is the manager, and he dropped out of school, and he is the manager of his cousin, the thug rapper dude, who's named Paperboy. And there's got the weed carrier guy, and he's just kind of weird and smoked out all the time. And don't we all know some weird smoked out people? It's just so
absolutely
relevant. Absolutely. So I don't know what y'all are referring to, but clearly we know some folks like that. We know people like I think anyone who watches this show, and I highly recommend it. If you have not seen Atlanta, please do so. It comes on FX. I think the season is over with now, but you can probably get it on demand or on the internet or, you know, wherever you get your TV from. Go see it, and if you really do not relate to one of those characters in there, you will know it within like the first 5-10 minutes, and you can check out. I highly recommend everybody out there, please go check out Atlanta. So that's just my little spiel. Thus ends the sermon. Anyway, I guess now we got to come up with this other show, Queen Sugar. So everybody's watched Queen Sugar, besides you, Ra. I know you haven't watched it.
I haven't watched
Neil,
it.
Neil, you haven't watched Queen Sugar, right?
I heard it's about some incest stuff.
Yeah. So basically, Yenny, are you very familiar with Queen Sugar? You want to talk about
it? Yes, I am. Yes. Well,
go for it.
Wait, hold on a second.
Queen
before y'all, before you go into Queen Sugar, can I just pull in a caller real quick?
Sure.
Absolutely,
okay.
Of course.
All right, and then y'all can take it away with Queen Sugar. All right, caller, your last four digits is 3793. 3793. Who are you? And do you have a question? Do you have a statement?
My name is Bray, and thank you all for the discussion. I have a question. I had a question. You know, I think when you were talking about, you know, we have a lot of shows with a lot of African-American actors and plots surrounding us, what do you think about the messaging that's going forward? You talked about a couple examples of one that seem to be good ones, but there are a lot of other ones that you know, push things to the extreme, and some of the messaging, what's being said and stated, can be misconstrued that it's all our culture or all that we're about. So
mm-hmm.
what are your thoughts?
Let me ask you.
Give us an example, Trey. Give us an example.
Well, I think, you know, reality TV isn't really reality TV. It's, you know, made up. And so those are some examples that are portrayed of who we are. And then the larger culture assumes that that's how all our families are, it's how our relationships are with one another. And they come at you with a lot of some of the slang and stuff that comes out of these shows, and that becomes popular.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just one example. And then you have the shows that Greenleaf, and there was a big controversy about it and the things that were being shared and how it was putting out a perspective
mm-hmm.
about the Black church. So,
mm-hmm.
okay,
that's interesting. I'm glad you brought that up, Bray.
Thank you, Bray.
I guess, yeah, thank you, Bray. Thank you for calling in, and then, by all means, stay on the line or whatever. But like, she brings up an excellent point where there was a long period of time where all we had was reality TV shows. That's where you could turn on the TV and you could see some Black people, and it was just simply, it was entertaining. I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm not entertained by, you know, reality television and the antics and shenanigans and whatnot like that. But if that's literally all you see, then there's going to be clearly a problem. But I kind of like some of the shows. In fact, I'll be the first one to say the more ratchet, the better. I love Black Ink Crew, which is literally about a bunch of dirty, scruffy, like tattoo artists and the people that they're doing tattoos on. And it's literally about nothing. It's about them, like, having sex with each other and having babies and cussing each other out and doing tattoos. It's totally has no redeeming social value whatsoever. I would never let my children watch it. But if you just want to watch some mindless, I don't want to think about nothing, and this is stupid, but it's entertaining and funny television, Black Ink Crew. But anyway,
I'm on the flip side to that. I cannot stand this reality television that I don't mind mindless television. I just think the images that we put out in terms of our reality television is, I think, it's unnecessary. I think we got too much of that going on. And some people are like, well, you know, other cultures, they got the same type of stuff going on, and they put it out there. I don't give a damn about them. I'm not a part of those cultures. I didn't grow up a part of those cultures.
Right.
I grew up in mine. And they'd be like, well, we don't want to just make it seem like we all positive and stuff. We want to show everything. We ain't got to show our ass all the time. We ain't got to put dirty laundry out there. So this is just my perspective on it, because my issue is that people who don't know anything about our communities see that, and then they assume that is everyone within our community. So then when they start meeting people who don't act like that, then they're like, oh, wow, you mean you don't cuss out anyone who gets on your nerves? Oh, you don't flip tables and chairs? Oh, wow. You don't use the N-word incessantly? Yeah. So that's why
I think,
because there's some power to it.
Well, here's the thing about it. For me, in regards to it, originally when reality TV came out with The Real World, I was actually into it. Let's talk about Real World and everything like that. Now, where Real World is now is totally different. But at that time of era, because you wanted to see how certain people walk of life, like people like yourself, any type of life, and, you know, basically experiencing what you experienced to some degree, it was okay. But it got to a point where I guess the sponsorship and the money and everything else was driven, took another turn to something that it's not good, but it's being capitalized as a lot of negativity. I am not going to lie.
Right.
I started watching the Ratchet TV during my college times into my 20s and my early 30s. I'm in my latter part of my 30s, and after 35, like I understand, I stopped watching it. And part of it is that I started to meet, because with I have a business, a jewelry business, when I started to meet some of these characters in person in those social gatherings, they're not what they really portray on that show. And the thing about it is that when you meet them in person, they're not that person. But I also think that money is driving them to do certain things, because if you notice, some people are transferred to the show because that's their form of income. Showing up at the club to represent that image is their income, which is sad that they got to capitalize on it. But unfortunately, it's money driven. And I'm noticing now and time again, a lot of these people who used to be something before are not, and they're trying to get that money or that income in, so they just continue to do that. And it's unfortunate that they feel the need to degrade themselves and our culture in that manner. But in my personal opinion, the only reason why they're acting the way they're acting is because of the money. Because if you actually meet them in reality, they're not the people they portray on TV.
And that's the sad thing about everything. That's the sad thing about everything when you think about it. Yenny put it on the head right there. A lot of people are selling their souls just for the dollar, and they're not thinking about the bigger picture. And like I said before, I didn't say before, but I agree with John. Every now and then, the ratchet may be amusing, but I know I'm at a point now that after 5 minutes of seeing something, I feel like I'm getting stupid by watching it. You know, so for me, when it comes to the ratchet TV, okay, I'll say this. I may not like it, but give me the option to choose something else. I think, like the caller said, the young lady just called in, if we could politic between us right now and the caller's listening, tell me 5 shows that actually have some quality substance and is not talking about sex, adultery, drugs, trying to be a rapper, trying to be a baller, trying to get vengeance on somebody, and actually have some substance. I mean, I know it's a different time and all that, but even if we relate to, like John said, the old shows back in the days, Cosby Show had a overall purpose to the episode, a different world. Even the Jeffersons, Good Times, they had an overall premise, overall moral to the story at the end of that. You know what I mean? And as much as, like, I agree with John, I like my ratchetness, but really, what is the overall moral theme after me watching an episode of Empire? Or Power?
Well, see, again, this is kind of bringing it back to what I was talking about as far as the culture, because there was such a long period of time where we didn't have any kind of shows that were, you know, all we had was reality TV, and that's what everybody watched, and that was it. But now we've got all these different shows that do have, I won't say positive, you know, morality, I guess you could say, but they are a little bit more intellectual, you know what I'm saying, more engaging on a different level than just, you know, this is stupid, but it's entertaining, which is basically what you get with reality TV. I kind of am hesitant to, you know, get on my high, and I'm not saying y'all are doing this, I'm only speaking for me now, but I am hesitant to say something is ignorant or, you know, is lowbrow or, you know, whatever little euphemism you want to call it, because it's real. You know, the stuff that happens on reality TV shows, it is real. I'm sure that we have all had, you know, instances where you were sleeping with somebody you shouldn't have been, besides Yenny. I'm talking about everybody else. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what y'all been doing. I'm not saying what you've been doing. I'm just merely saying that's just reality. That happens.
Yeah, but then
you have a break.
Let me ask you a question, John. No one ran up on the street corner or at a club or at a restaurant trying to pull my hair over it. You know, and I know that does happen too. I know that happens too, because it's television, I don't give as much credit to it being real, because I know they are producers who are hyping the situation up. You know what I think about?
Exactly.
I think about that movie Crash. You remember the movie Crash? Did y'all see that?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, with the different scenarios.
And remember when Terrence Howard's character was a director on a television show, and Tony Danza was playing the producer, and the producer, they make the shows, they make the movies, and they make them in the way that they feel will make money, because they're putting their money out to produce these projects. So when there was a young black character in the show who said something in his dialogue, you know, Tony Danza runs up on Terrence Howard talking about, hey, is Jamal seeing a speech coach? You know, he said it like this, and that just sounded too proper. I don't think he would say it like that. And in essence, what he was saying was, go tell an actor when he says his lines, say it more ignorant, because that's how I think y'all are. You know what I'm saying? You pulling strings to make us appear to look like that.
Yeah. And my premise beside when I said give us an option, if we go back, I think we all should be still familiar. This has always been my comparison. when I say it's like they want reality or they want the ratchet or they want the nonsense. Denzel Washington will win an award for Training Day, being a corrupt, foul, disrespectful cop. But you do John Q or the Hurricane, and you get no love. That's what I'm saying, where it's just like, and when the young lady called in, we're more than that. Like, I agree with you when you say John, it's real, but we're more than Training Day. We're more than power.
Of course.
We're a lot of John Q's. We're a lot of Hurricanes. We're a lot of glory. But we don't get no love for that. It's like,
that's right there is kind of what I have so much of an issue with, because why can't we be the bad guy? Why can't we be just jacked up and messed up? Why can't we be allowed to make mistakes? I won't say always.
Let me ask you a question. For me personally, to answer your question, there's nothing wrong with me being the bad guy. But if you're giving me constant awards for being the bad guy, and when I try to be the good guy, you're like, nah, they're not interested in that. That's the problem. That's where it's like Ron and Yenny and everybody was saying.
Okay, no, you know, I'm going to sit there and I agree. Because this is for the simple fact of the matter. Like, was it the Oscar that Halle Berry won? And I don't think she's a good actress.
For Monster's Ball?
What's his name? I swear, I think that was the senior
Billy Bob Thornton, or whatever his name was,
Guys, and I'm looking, and didn't she go against Angela Bassett that year?
I can't remember.
Okay, and if I remember correctly, I think it was Angela Bassett that Tina Turner would love got to do it, I think. I might be wrong. But, you know,
that
I'm sitting there, I'm like, I believe, I have to go look. I'm not even sure about that, but I know there was
some
controversy
on it.
I'll do the research on that one. But I'm just sitting here like, okay, I was hurt. Like, wait, Halle Berry sucks as an actress, and y'all gave it to her for Monster's Ball? And I saw it. And I was like, wait, what? Did I
make me feel good?
And the thing about it is, you're very right. Denzel Washington had a whole slew of marvelous movies. Malcolm X, everything like that, prior to Training Day. And then he got it for Cursing Up a Storm and basically for whatever his role was. I couldn't understand it. But the thing about it, then I also realized that, you know, with what certain things that we do, and if we're not recognized in mainstream, what we do is create our own shows, which we did. But it doesn't hold weight, because you know why? We try to dummy it down.
Right.
So she was up against Judi Dench, Nicole Kidman, Sissy Spacek, Renee Zellweger.
Okay.
Hey,
you know what I'm saying, John? I'm saying what you were saying, John, like, don't get it twisted. I totally agree with you. I know it's everybody's opinion. I totally agree with you about, okay, the ratchetness is real and blah, 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 blah. But I think my premise is, and maybe everybody else will agree too, give us the options. And when we have a damn good show that comes out that was excellently written and excellently produced, give us the props off of that. Don't just be like, you know what I mean?
Now, unfortunately, I hear what you're saying, and I respect y'all's opinion immensely, but I'm going to unfortunately call your bluff on this one, because we're speaking not just about TV shows, but we're talking about movies too. And we just got done with The Birth of a Nation, came out, the story of Nat Turner, excellent film, done fantastically. Everybody was all hyped up for it at first, and then all these revelations about Nate Parker came out, and basically people fell off. So in other words, what you were just saying, give us the option, give us the good quality stuff, give us the uplifting, you know, power to the people type thing. We gave you that, and you didn't come out and support it. So there's not going to be, the bottom line is Hollywood is still show business. If the movie or the project is not making money, then it's simply not going to work. And while Birth of a Nation was by no means a flop, that's what people want you to believe, it was by no means a flop. I'm sure it's made its money back. I'm sure it's profitable. It is not the blockbuster type picture that it maybe should have been, because black people didn't come out to see that, but we did go out to see Madea's Halloween. So,
And people,
you got to
give a number to it.
Realistic.
To give a number to it, that opening weekend for Birth of a Nation, it made $7 million. The opening weekend for Madea, $27 million to see her say
boo. That's crazy to me, too.
And you know what? Madea was on way more screens.
It was. And you're right. We didn't come out. And a lot of people probably won't like what I have to say about, you know, that is because we're sheep. We are sheep. We are followers. We are followers. We will go where the crowd goes mindlessly. And we won't. That's what sheep do. Sheep just follow a shepherd. They don't know where they're going. They don't care what they're going. They just going with the group. It's just a group of us. We going. And we decided as a group, whether it was consciously or unconsciously, we ain't going to go see Birth of a Nation. When it was really, I mean, it wasn't the most historically accurate movie, but it was still a damn good movie. Like, I mean,
right, okay.
And when Fox picked it up, they thought they were picking up the black Braveheart. That's what they thought they were picking up. And they knew how big Braveheart did. And what they even did is they brought in a consultant from Braveheart, from that film, to help tighten up Birth of a Nation because they just knew. But once all that stuff came out, because and my own personal opinion is that there were folks who did not want those images of black revolt out there, so they wanted to kill this movie before it even got out there. And as the sheep that we are, we was like, well, he did X, Y, and Z, so I'm not going to see it. But he made 24 other movies, and you went to go see those. Now all of a sudden you don't want to see this one? So I was pissed. I'm sorry.
I mean,
that was me.
Yeah.
Let me
throw you a
go for it, Neil.
Oh, go ahead, John. I was about to I want to throw a premise or a question out there, even to the callers too. So, with regards to what we're talking about, black movies and this, that, and the third, and TV shows, how did you feel about the statement? You know, when they made the new remake of Roots. So when Snoop said that, you know, quote, I don't want to misquote him, but along the ideas of, I'm tired of seeing slave movies. I don't want to see anything more about rights. Show us something else, because we've been there and done that. Do you agree with the premise, or do you feel that the new generation needs to be reminded and the new millennials need to see that? Like, how do you feel about that? Have we done Roots? Is it over and done with, or do they? We still need to remake it?
Well, in my opinion, number one, I didn't think they should have remade Roots, but that's my opinion. But do I think that our new generation needs to see it? Yes, because we're coming from an era where they're not really technically reading books. Everything is very visual to them. So when it comes to movies, when it comes to social media, when it comes to things of that era, anything to keep them reminded of their history, I'm all for it. Okay, I'm all for it. If recreation of roots is what it is, then so be it. I'm going to stick with the roots that I know when I grew up. But if it's going to put them in a line where we're on the same page, where I can have a conversation with you, and it could be, on some substantial to it, then yes, go for it. I am not going to sit there and be mad. But, you know, in relation to roots, you made mention when we were talking earlier about the underground. So
right.
that's another show in itself, and I watched that. I just have to say, it brought me back to roots. I had to find myself in a corner to, you know, reclaim who I was for a minute, because I would have went to work fighting. So
right.
But when it comes to stuff like that, I would never say that we need to stop watching this. We need to stop doing that, because I could say the same that we need to stop listening to Snoop or anybody else in that rap era and whatnot, because I wasn't too keen on him growing up and whatnot.
Right.
I could say let's go back to this. It is what it is. Because if you're gonna say that about that, we might as well say certain things about his music, his industry, and what he's doing. I mean, I'm even questioning the whole thing about him being on Martha Stewart right now, but, hey, it's entertaining. It's a song, so I'm not going to knock the hustle. But
exactly.
At the end of the day, don't stop saying something about history that's brought us to where we are now, and we need to know what we were and how we came forward and the foundation of what you're relying on in order for us to succeed in life right now. Because you know what? There's a lot of children out there that don't even know what happened so long ago. They don't know who the Kente is and everybody with history. They don't even know the black authors.
Right.
So that we grew up on. So if this is the way for them to bring them in, then so be it. Bring it and keep bringing it till everybody's on the same page.
Three quick points about that stupidness. One, it's a known fact. If you're not mindful of your history, you're doomed to repeat it. So we need to keep talking about that. Two, you don't hear no other culture that's gone through some type of a mass genocide talking about, I don't want to hear about it any ever again. They'll tell you in a heartbeat, never forget. You had to always put that out there. So to have gone through that genocide and be like, I don't want to see it anymore, that tells me more about him than anything else. And then lastly, back in the days when I was in a nation, way back in the days, back up in Albany, there was our minister up there was talking about how Elijah Muhammad would teach the same lesson. He would come out and teach the same lesson every week to the ministers. He'd teach it every single week. And then one week, one of the ministers was like, you keep teaching us the same lesson over and over again. And then he said, Elijah said, because you still haven't learned the lesson. Sometimes we got to see these things over and over and over and over again until we learn the lesson so that we like, okay, I get it. I know what I'm supposed to do. So Snoop, he could take his little opinion about that and go smoke it somewhere.
I mean, basically, I'm agreeing with all of y'all. We kind of preaching to the choir here. I'm very biased. I think that we need to tell these same stories over and over and over again as much as humanly possible because there's so many different stories that have yet to be told. We just now got a Nat Turner movie. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Where's Harriet Tubman at? Where's, oh, Jesus, you know, you can, Martin Delaney, the list goes on and on and on about historical figures. What's my man? I'm going to sound ignorant right now. Oh, in Haiti. Okay, well, the Haitian Revolution story. In other words, there's plenty that can still be touched on, and we still having suffered the impacts of that period of time right now to the current day, we need all the repeats or stories told that we can get. I'm waiting on somebody to remake the Shaka Zulu miniseries. When is that going to happen? I've been waiting on that. But
that would be dope.
That would be dope.
Yes. Because I don't know. Am I the only one that gets excited every time they say they're going to do Shaka Zulu soon?
Because
it comes on all the time.
Wouldn't y'all somewhat agree, and Rod's better at quoting hip-hop better than I am, but what did Jay say about Taleb, Ra? Remember when he was like lyrically about how he thinks Taleb is a better rapper, but society just wants Common rapping. You want the bullshit. You want the nonsense.
Right.
So I've been rhyming Common ever since, and that's what's making me dollars. And
yeah,
I think that that relates to, I think that's what relates to us when it comes to movies and TV shows. Like, substance, there's a whole lot of substance, like John just said, like we all said, that's out there, historical substance, things of that nature. But Yenny throwing a glass of wine on a chick's face is going to get more ratings than we talking about Madam C.J. Walker. And I don't know where we got lost within that. I don't know whether we are lost in translation or there's something, but if you really think about it, like even we said before, I think Ron, John, and I used to talk about this before, America just loves violence. You know what I'm saying? If you have Malcolm X over here or you have somebody getting their tail beat on World Star, they're going to watch that more than the historical fact about our culture.
Yeah, well, how did this country come to be? With violence. So they're just capitalizing on what they know. But I just change it a little bit, though, for a little bit? We're talking about the genre of the movies and stuff. So let's really sit there and talk about the music that is being played in these shows. Okay, like the introduction of different type of musicians, underground musicians, those that we know and don't know.
Oh, right.
And you're sitting there.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sitting here I got to get that. And Luke Cage, Issa Rae, you know, there's certain music that you start to hear. You're like, wait, I don't know about that. Who's that? And, you know, Queen Sugar and stuff like that. So along with the type of shows that are going on, you're hearing a new wave of music as well.
Absolutely.
And it's opening up doors, or at least bringing me back to the type of music that I used to listen to early on, you know, because I don't listen to the music as much as what's going on. So when people start telling me something, I'll be like, what? And so I'm still stuck on the 90s era with the New Jack Swing and everything like that because I can't identify with the music that's being played now. But I'm just loving the type of music that is coming out. I don't even know half the artists on there.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I have to Google the show just to figure out who's played and what's going on back on there. But along with the TV shows that we are watching and the new, as you were saying, the new renaissance and the new things are coming on. The music is also coming into play with that, and the working of that is
100%. I think that maybe the music might be the most influential or maybe the most widely spread type thing. It's funny that you brought up Issa Rae. Issa Rae's show Insecure is on HBO. I think that's probably my second favorite new show because it is really very, very new. For people that are unaware, Issa Rae's show Insecure is on HBO. I think the last show of the season is coming up on Sunday. But basically she is a late 20-year-old worker for a nonprofit, and it's basically all the stuff that she goes through in her life with her live-in boyfriend and her best friend, and you know, just typical single woman type stuff. It seems very stereotypical when you hear it, but if you watch the show, it is extremely not that way for a variety of reasons. Number one of which, her music choices in there are excellent. Issa Rae puts out like a 30-song playlist for every show that you can go and download a couple of new music and get all kinds of new stuff in there. And one of the things that I really dig about Issa Rae's show is that normally you see a female or a woman character, and she's kind of one-dimensional. So she is either the long-suffering wife, she is the funny straight woman to her slovenly husband, you know, something like that. She only has kind of one little thing that she does, and that's it. But with this particular show, even though it's a comedy or it's presented like a comedy, she gets into a lot of very real situations that she's not really making the best decisions and choices. We always present it with the strong black woman archetype. You know what I'm saying? That is strong, and she's tough, and she does the right thing all the time, and she looks perfect, and, you know, womp, womp, womp. But in this show, Issa Rae is called Insecure for a reason, because she's kind of goofy, and she isn't doing the right thing, and she's kind of weird looking, and, well, she's not actually weird looking, but she's trying to make herself look weird. My point being is that it's a very complex character. It's a very complex story filled with complex women characters that we really do not get that often, except for right now, because Queen Sugar is also full of very complex women characters.
Well, let me just put it this way. With Insecure also, we also have to talk about, you made a point that about the independent black woman, and I think that was one of our discussions that we had. But this shows that it shows the independent black woman, but it also shows what we're constantly battling with ourselves, what we're thinking about, you know, relationship wise, work wise. I mean, there was a part where they were talking about the, and when she worked with a whole bunch of white people, and they had a point in the break room where they're like, oh my God, because she worked with inner city children, and she made mention about taking the children to the beach because her friend Molly, who grew up in the hood, she never been to the beach. So she was like, okay, well, is that something, you know, of course her wild counterparts didn't think that was something that was so blasé, but she understood the whole importance of exposing an inner city child to something that they're not so used to, so they can have that experience or that one touch of life. I mean, even with her relationship with her living boyfriend,
and
he's not working, and she's not sure if she wants to be in that relationship with him. And then the introduction of that kryptonite dude that she grew up with, who she always wanted to test that, step in that water, but she in a relationship. I mean, different scenarios. And her friend Molly,
right,
who grew up in her, but actually bougie right now, who's having her moment because she's going through her dry stuff. So,
right.
I mean, different scenarios.
Let me ask y'all a question real quick, because I just thought about everything that we've been talking about, and it's on topic, but it's different. In your personal opinion,
we got a few minutes left, y'all, so we gotta keep that.
Yeah, mine is real short, but I just thought about it. In your personal opinion, and I know we're all honest, do you think we specifically as a black race, do you think we support our films as much as we should?
No.
Absolutely not, and I'm so glad that you brought that up. So let me say real quick, please go see a film called Moonlight. If it's playing anywhere around you, go see Moonlight. Anybody that's listening to this, Rasheen, Neil, Yenny, anybody,
I already watched this movie.
Okay. I'll just leave it at that. It is an excellent, it's just excellent. It's just utterly excellent, and I'm just going to leave it at that. Please go see that. But no, we do not, Neil, and that's why. That's a problem.
We
go ahead, Ron.
We do if it's New Jack City, or if it's another Christmas, Black Christmas film, or if it's a Madea film.
But if it's like I'm still hurt, cut to my core, that we didn't support Bamboozle. I thought for me that was one of Spike's best movies, one of Spike Lee's best films, and we did not support that. So it depends. If the answer to the question for me is it depends. If so long as that movie not trying to make us think too hard about something, and you know people don't really want to pay their money to be preached at, so they want to go and see you know. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me flip this script for you because this just came into my head right now, Rashid. We were just talking about ratchet movies, ratchet this, and those type of movies that people don't support. But here's the kicker. I also was thinking about maybe as a black community, because we struggle so much, and even on our everyday affair, watching those type of movies, like, you know, those Christmas kind of movies that you mentioned, Madea movie, is like a brief moment where they could take their mind over their personal.
Therapy.
Because I can't, you know, as a culture, and as a culture, as a community, we're still struggling, okay?
Very much
so.
We're still struggling. We're fighting, okay?
My response to that question is that's what bourbon is for. Take a shot and go see a movie that you're going to learn something from. You can see both, and I'm not.
And that's why there's a liquor store in every community.
Right, we can see both. I'm just saying we can see. We are more than what we put ourselves out there to be.
But
we
that's
can
where
see
we are
right
now.
But here's the kicker. But this is the thing about it. We are so much more. But the thing about it is that we're in a community as well that not many people realize that we are so much more. And the thing about
and
it
that's
is
the
only
problem.
They gravitate to something that may just amusement. Use them, even if it's just for 2 seconds, okay?
Go ahead, Yenny. Well, so basically, that's kind of to build off what you was just saying. Yes, absolutely. We basically only go, we don't run the TV networks. We don't put anything on TV. So we watch what is on television. And what has been on television is what makes money. It's the lowest common denominator, so on and so forth. That's why I say we are kind of in a renaissance period right now, because we do have all these different shows, movies, music that show a totally left of center or a different viewpoint. You got Greenleaf. You got the Have and the Have Nots. You've got your Queen Sugar that deal with, you know, the church and families and typical and siblings and family drama type things. And then you got your things like Insecure, which talks about being a young woman in the city. You got your things like Atlanta, which talks about being a struggling rapper, you know, and so on and so forth. You got your Luke Cage. You got your Blackish. You've got the Carmichael Show, which is hilarious. And you've got all these different shows all happening all at the same time. And that's just the ones that's on TV. If you want to get into stuff that's on the internet and just on YouTube, that's really the cutting edge type stuff. If you got time, check out a show called Sex and Money that's on YouTube that is amazing. It's very, I guess, negative, but it's pretty much like street dudes that they like, okay, here's a scenario, do what you would actually do, and we're going to film it and put it on the internet. And it's incredible. So Sex and Money that's on YouTube, I feel like what Rashim said, we can have both. You can have the ratchet stuff as well as the not ratchet stuff at the same damn time, and we really need all that. And finally, for once, we really got it. I know we're running late on time.
No,
we're
not running
late. So I guess we all need
seconds.
Okay, we got 30 seconds. Well, I think we need to sign off. Rashim, say goodbye. Everybody say, you know,
peace.
Yeah, Ra, go ahead.
Peace, y'all. Enjoy your week.
Neil?
Have a good one.
That was
you. Love y'all. Thank y'all for listening.
That was Yenny. Now, Yenny, you go ahead one more time. Yenny, can you say Manhattan for us, please?
10 seconds.
Manhattan.
Yes, I like that. All right. A brother's point of view. Appreciate you listening. Check us out next week. Peace.
Bye.
Peace. I'm focused, man. Don't stop to holler at me, man.